welcome to the program. In 2005, the National Science Foundation published an article regarding a research about human thoughts in one day. The average person has between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about thinking. It says a lot. Stay tuned. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think, that's how we turn out. According to that article I mentioned that was published by the National Science Foundation, we have between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day, and 80% of those thoughts are negative, and 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts they had the day before. Paul the Apostle said to the church there at the Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these. Notice, all of those things are positive. Now, there's a book out, and I've got a copy of it, The Power of Positive Thinking. And there's some good stuff in that book. Dale Carnegie wrote it. He also wrote a book on how to win friends and influence people, and then divorced his wife. However, if you get your positive thinking from the Word of God, you can't go wrong. Listen to this message in song. It was written by Spafford right after he lost his children. It's a sad story. However, at the spot where they died, he wrote this song, It Is Well With My Soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is well. It is well with my soul.
And peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever thy lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
As we mentioned previously, there's hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about how we should think. We read that verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And as we mentioned, those words are all positive words. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely and of a good report and of virtue and of praise, he said, think on these. These things are very positive. Now the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If that report is correct, that 80% of our thoughts are negative, is it any wonder we're having problems getting through life these days? We go back into the Old Testament and study the life of David, and he really did have some hardships and some circumstances running for his life, for the king wanted to kill him for no good reason. And we read in Psalm 119, verse 59, that he said, I thought on my ways and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, Psalm 119 is basically a prayer, except for the first few verses. All the way through, Psalm 119 is a prayer. And David said in his prayer, I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways and turned my feet. See, as a man thinketh, so is he. Where did he turn his feet? It says here, I thought on my ways and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. That's an interesting word. It appears 23 times in Psalm 119 alone. It has to do with God's will, which in turn dictates his standard of conduct for us. Now, with that in mind, David said, and remember, David's a man who's a man after God's own heart. He said, I thought on my ways. If he needs to think on his ways, how much more do we need to think on ours? I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto God's will and God's standard of conduct for me in these particular circumstances. We have another serious situation in Matthew chapter 1 where Joseph, his wife-to-be, comes back after being away for a few months, and she's pregnant. Now, what are you going to think is going on here? And so while he's thinking about putting her away, and the Bible says that at the law back there under the Old Testament, she could be put to death, or he could put her away privately. And he said in Matthew chapter, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. He thought on these things. He gave it some thought. He didn't just panic. These things. Now, David thought on his ways. Joseph thought on these things, and he got some directions from God. The phrase, these things, is found in the Word of God 293 times. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 37 concerning those who put their faith and trust in Christ, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ. We have another situation in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72. Peter has just denied the Lord for the third time, and the rooster crowed, and we read in chapter 14 of the book of Mark, verse number 72, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. When he thought thereon, he wept. He called to mind the things that Jesus said. Now, there's a good idea. When we get into the circumstances that we have put ourselves into because of our thinking, what was Peter's problem? Well, he had his view, he had his focus on one of those thrones. You remember when Jesus said that he was going to die on the cross, and not so. Peter said, no way, that's not going to happen. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, the word there is adversary. I don't think he actually called him Satan. Get thee behind me, adversary. He said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. See, Peter, he's not thinking about the long-term picture. He's thinking about himself. Right now, we're going to kick out those Romans. I am going to get one of those thrones. Boy, people are going to serve me. That's going to be great. We saw back in our study in the book of John, where in John chapter 21, what, no throne? I go fishing. And he had a focus here that was wrong because of his thinking. And so Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said, and Jesus told him he was going to deny him that night. Oh no, he said, I'll never deny you. I won't do that. I'll go to jail. I'll even die for you. Well, a few hours later, he's cursing and swearing and saying he never knew him. Well, when he thought thereon, the Bible says that he wept. Peter wasn't the only one who had his focus on the throne. We read back in Luke 19, verse 11, a couple of other disciples that said they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. That's what they had their focus on. There was another circumstance that we read about in John chapter 11 where Lazarus had died and Jesus said that he sleeps, and they said, well, maybe we should just leave him sleep, because they didn't want to go back in that territory where those people there wanted to kill Jesus and anybody who was with him. Well, John chapter 11, they thought Jesus was talking about him just being asleep, but in verse 13 we read, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Now, what their problem was they had their preconceived methods of thinking, their preconceived thoughts that got in the way of the facts. The story is recorded in John chapter 13 of what we call the Last Supper. It was actually the last Passover supper and the first communion service there. And Judas was sent out to do his deed against the Son of God and betraying him. And the other disciples, what are they thinking about Judas? Well, we read in John 13:29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we need of against the feast. Now, they thought that, well, where's Judas gone? Oh, he's gone to buy some food. Well, he was the treasurer. How did he get to be the treasurer? Well, they thought if there's anybody in this group that we can trust, it's Judas Iscariot. They wouldn't give the money. Don't give that to Peter. I don't know about Peter. He's up and down. He's not too solid. Oh, there's Judas. Yeah, we can trust Judas. And they thought they could trust Judas. They thought that he was going out to buy some more food. He was going out to betray the Son of God. Well, look at one more verse here, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. It says, Peter thought. What was he thinking about? It says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. That's an interesting story. Peter's hungry. He's up on the rooftop. It's about noon. And he has a vision. There's a sheet coming down from heaven, and it's full of animals. And the Lord said to Peter, rise and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Well, there's a contradiction of terms. Not so, Lord. Those phrases just don't go together. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And the Lord said, rise and eat. He said, not so. I'm not going to do that. I don't eat anything that's unclean. Well, that happened three times. And finally, it says that Peter thought on the vision. He thought on it. So really, I need to stop and think about what's going on here. And the Spirit said unto him, see, if we do a little more thinking, we hear a little more from the Holy Spirit. If we'll think about what God wants for us, let's go back to that word testimonies, which is God's will or God's standard of conduct for us. Now, Peter didn't, you know, keep in mind that what he's going to be told to do here is go to the Gentiles. And he said, I want you to go to Cornelius's house. And when he got to Cornelius's house, he said, you know, it's not lawful for us to eat with a Gentile. And by the way, this is at least 7 years and more likely 11 or 12 years after Jesus rose from the dead and went back to heaven, and Peter was still not having anything to do with fellowshipping with the Gentiles. We've got the story mixed up here in the first part of the book of Acts. We have a whole series on the internet there, a complete article, and a series on the broadcast concerning the timeline in the book of Acts. You might do well to study that. Well, Peter thought on the vision, and the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." God's putting things together. If we would stop and just think about the circumstances that we're going through, saying, "Lord, why are these things happening to me? God has a purpose. If you're a child of God, God has a purpose for you being in this world, and He tries to work His purpose out through us with the circumstances that come into our lives." I mentioned before I was saved, I was only 12 years old. When I was in my early teenage years, I came across a quote by Alan Redpath, and it really has helped me through life. I want to read it to you. It says this, quote, "There is nothing, no circumstances, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until first of all it has gone past God, past Christ, through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a purpose which I may not understand at the moment, but if I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to Him, and as I accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstances will cause me to fret, for I will rest in the joy of what my Lord is."
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares, He fain would bear and cheer me. Whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me. In every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promise.